gave Elliot the passage this morning, he said, oh, short sermon. I don't know if that was just a hope or if it was something he really believed that was going to happen. But we're certainly going to try to do that if at all possible, and we're going to try to have that. But we appreciate so very much Elliot and others reading and them being able to find people to be able to do that in such a great way. But we appreciate that. The lesson today is one to help us to not just to love our nation. We need to do that. Every person needs to love the country that they live in, because there's a lot of work that goes into that. Trying to keep the government like it should be, operating as it should be. And most governments are not able to do that. We are blessed to be able to live in America. I don't know why the people in the world, they just, you know, they look at America and a lot of people hate us, they don't like us. Everybody wants to come over here. Everybody wants to be here. So we must have something that people like. And it may be the freedom. And I think if, you know, if they understood us better, they might appreciate us. Or they might not with things that are going on right now. But we need to recognize how blessed we are. Thursday, July the 4th, Independence Day, the day that some fellas got together in this country and they said what we want to do is we want to have a nation that is independent from all other nations. We want to have a nation here of people that we're based upon our own desires. And it was something that was very new, where the people were supposed to be running this nation. The people were the ones that were going to make the decisions. And some of the things that you find in the Declaration of Independence really point to that, that we need that and we must have that. Those were some very wise men. And as we see today, they were some very dedicated men. They were dedicated not only to helping a nation, but helping God be at the base of that nation. And we need to recognize that. We're living in a time where sometimes people, they don't look at this nation as it is a godly nation. And I guess if you add it up, everybody, we're not as we need to be. But we need to try to keep God in this country. We need to try to keep God in this nation. Now, that's a responsibility that we have. That's not the responsibility of the government. That's us. And so what we need to try to do is to try to have this. Listen, if you would, John Adams said this: whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind the Declaration of Independence. And if God wills, now remember that, if God wills, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom. Now, this was something he was willing to do. He was willing to pay the ultimate price of giving his life. Now, I've got just a few quotes here that I want you to see and I want us to understand. These fellows that were willing to sign the Declaration of Independence were not just signing a paper and having to deal with the press and maybe the press not liking them. When they signed this, they put their life, they put their family, they put their wealth, they put everything they had on this. And they knew what they were doing. They knew that when they signed these papers, that they were going to be people who were going to be some of them hunted down and some of them punished greatly. But they were willing to do that because they had the courage. You see, the courage that this nation had when it started. And we see the courage of this nation as it stood to do many good things in this world. And many bad things too. We're not perfect. And I think everybody recognizes that. But we need to be proud of this nation. And I know you might think now, well, there's not a lot to be proud of. Things are not going like we want them to go. Never have been. Never will be. But we keep on serving God. And we keep on trying to help other people to see the need to serve God. These forefathers suffered a great deal so that we could have this nation and we could have be independent from everybody else. You just think about it. Here were a bunch of farmers, some not just politicians, but just people who were normal, everyday people that did not really have an army, that their army was individuals with their guns ready to stand up for what was right. And they were going against one of the most powerful nations of the world at that time. Now, let me tell you something. When you're going to get an enemy, you get a little enemy. Don't pick a big one. But they picked a big one. And they were willing to put everything they had. Listen to this. And I thought about this, and I thought I could have everybody stand up and quote this second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. But listen to this. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now they started this thing out saying we want people to be able to live in peace and harmony. We want them to be able to have a country where they can be, one, proud of it, but also they can feel secure in it. And that's what we're looking for. We want that security. We want that there. The closing paragraph of this, listen to this. Did I do that one? I got it on here somewhere. Ah, yeah. The closing paragraph. With a firm reliance on the protection of the providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now you just think about these fellows. They were committing their own selves to this. They were committing their life to this. They were committing everything they had to this. But I want you to see, even though they were trying to have the independence from the other governments in the world and the independence from England, they were also dependent. And you see this throughout the writings. We saw, I forget what the title of it was, maybe a year or two ago, where it talked about the nation and some of the people there. These people wanted to be dependent upon God, and they expressed that. Nobody can change that. Now, you can try to reword what they said, and you can redefine what they said, but if you take it as those people said it at that time, they were saying, we want to be independent from any nation, but we recognize we are dependent upon God. We need to remember that. This nation exists, I think, personally, you don't have to believe that it's because of our stand for God, our stand for what's right. Now, we lose that. What are we going to be? Like the other nations, more concerned about ourselves than anybody else. I think the United States is trying to stand up for what's right and trying to do what is right. Now, there was a fellow, Patrick Henry, and most of you know him for his saying there. And what is that? Give me liberty or give me death. Now, you need to look at that man's life just a little bit and see some of the things about his life that I think are very important. In 1764, he was elected to the House of Burghers. This was something that had to do with England, the court systems and all that. He was one who fought very hard for those pioneer people, for them to have their freedoms, and him willing to speak up. And because he was in a place where if you talked about freedom in this country, then it was shouted down. But he was willing to speak. Not only that, we can see him in 1774 where he was one of the delegates to the first Continental Convention. He was there ready to help to write that thing, ready to get it started. In 1775, he was elected to the Virginia Province of Conventions, and he went there, and he was in a group of people that were so deeply divided that they were just, all they were doing was fussing with each other. That's when he made that statement. That's when he stood up, and sometimes we think he stood up in a place where everybody agreed with him. He stood up in a place where people did not agree with him. And he said, give me liberty or give me death. He said, that's what I want. And they were willing to pay it. Brethren, we've got to have people today that are willing to give what they've got to give to have liberty. It's not cheap. It costs the blood of a lot of soldiers. It's costing at this time the blood of soldiers because we're trying to do what's right. We're trying to do what we think God wants to do. He was one who was, when the revolution started, he was the general, I guess you might say, of the Virginia Army, which again was a ragtag group of people. But he was there ready to fight. He led in that. He was elected a senator. If they had allowed him, he was elected the governor of Virginia. If they had in fact, he was elected three times, and the fourth time he said, I don't want it. I'm retiring. I don't need that. They elected him anyhow, and he took it. Five times he took that. The sixth time he said, this is it. I'm not doing it anymore. I don't care what you vote. Washington encouraged him to come and be a part of his cabinet, to be the Secretary of State. He offered him the ambassadorship to France, to Spain. He offered him many other titles, many other works, but he didn't want to do it. He had something else in mind that he wanted to do, and he did that. He had something in mind. Listen to what he said here. These are his words. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, and he's meaning by that all these religions, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you tell me that these fellows didn't have God in mind when they wrote these books. When they wrote the books, wrote the Declaration of Independence, God was there in mind. God was a part of it, and they wanted the people to know that. You can see statement after statement, as we saw in this DVD that we looked at a couple of years ago. Might be good to look at it again now, just to encourage ourselves in that. How that these people were godly Christian men who were trying to establish a nation on the principles of Christianity. Please don't think this is a Christian nation. It's not. We may be Christians in this nation, but this is not a Christian nation. Now you can look at all the statistics you want to and it'll tell you that. What I like about this man was the words he said in his will for other people to read in his own kids. Listen to this. I have given everything that I own to my children. There's one more thing that I wish I could give them, and that is Christ. Because if they have everything I own and they don't have Christ, they have nothing. Now, I don't care what you can leave your kids. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what kind of power you have or prestige. If you don't leave your kids with Christ, your life is not worth anything. I don't care what your kids do. I don't care what accolades they get. If they're not people who love and serve God, my life would be a mess and really not worth being here. How wonderful it is that we can now teach our children about Christianity in this country. In some places, you might do it, but you have to do it real quietly. You might have to do it because of danger. Isn't it wonderful that today we can meet together and we can worship God and we don't have to worry about anybody stopping that? I've talked with people before that have been in places where when they walked into the church building that some of the people came in and surrounded the building, came inside and listened to the preacher while he was preaching. And these weren't fellows that were displeased. These were fellows with guns. But we don't worry about that in this country. Hopefully it will never happen. May, who knows? What we've got to do is decide if we're going to be those people that are going to serve God first, and then we're going to be a person of this country. God's above every government. God's above every company. God's above everything else. God is the God of it all. Now, I told you that these people had a dependence upon God. Now, there's something I want to read to you. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. The children of Israel had been into the land of the wilderness, the land that God sent them. They had to learn a lesson. But he's trying to tell them now, this is the reason for the lesson. This is the purpose of the lesson that you had to learn. He starts talking about how that God led them into that land. He fed them. He gave them things that they couldn't eat. They didn't know anything about manna, but there it was for them to eat. They knew about quail, but it was there for them to be able to get. He talks about the clothes they had that they didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. He said, why do you think that? Why do you think that happened? He said, I want you to understand God is the one that did that for you. God is the one that gave that to you. He gave you the manna to eat, verse 16. He gave you everything that you did. He did this for this reason, to take away your pride. To take away the pride that you have in your own heart and to test you so that things would go well for you in the end. You say, well, you know, things are not like they need to be today. Okay? Have you thought that maybe it's God telling us you need to think about your pride? You need to think about the pride that you... Do you think he's telling this nation you need to think about your pride? And we may have to go into the wilderness. Somebody said, oh no, God wouldn't do that. He did it before, and he'll do it again. What we need to do is to help God to see that we're going to be people that are going to walk, talk, and live right according to his will. Then go down to verse 17, if you would. The reason for all this. That you might say to yourself, don't act like this, that what he's trying to do is teach you a lesson, and he wants you to understand this. Don't say to yourself, I am rich because of my own power. I have what I have because of how good I am, how smart I am, and how I've been able to use things that other people didn't realize. Forget that, he said. Don't let that be a part of your life. It is he who gives you the power to become rich, keeping the agreement he promised to your ancestors even today. If you ever forget the Lord your God, verse 19, and follow other gods and worship them and bow down to them, gods, governments, whatever, I want you today to understand you will be destroyed. You'll be destroyed. Just as the Lord destroyed the other nations for you, you can be destroyed if you do not obey the Lord's word, the Lord your God. He said, I want you to understand the power that you have, the power you have to change your life, to change your way, to change your destiny. You have the power to do that. Those people at that time had to be taught a lesson. Will God teach us a lesson? I don't know. That's for God to know. I just know I need to learn that lesson real fast. And I need to learn to depend upon God and not government. The power of government is not in its bombs. It's not in how big its war things are, all those things. That's not the great thing. The great thing is this nation willing as a group of people to say God is over all of it? Our problem today is that we are neglecting to see the power of God. We're neglecting to see how strong and how powerful God is. It was clear to those people at that time, it was clear to them that they needed to understand, they needed to trust in God more. And he said, listen, when you get in this land that flows with milk and honey, and you've got grapevines, and you've got pomegranates, and all these other things out there that you didn't have to plant those trees, the other people did, but God gave them to you. When you get in that land like that, you're going to start thinking, wait a minute, I did this. Why do you think God had Israel to go out to fight and he was always the one that was winning the battle for them? Because they needed to learn a dependence upon God. We've got to learn a dependence upon God for everything. And when times are not good, when things are not going our way, that doesn't make any difference. We still trust in God. We still depend upon God because of who He is and how strong He is. We've got to recognize that. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin's a reproach to anybody. Any nation, any person, any individual. Sometimes we wonder what's going to happen to this nation. I don't really know. Nobody does. And in one sense, that's just the way it's going to be. But I do know what I can do about it. I can stand up for what is right. I can teach what is right. And even greater than that, I can live what is right. And that's what we've got to do. I don't know what's going to happen in this country. Nobody really knows. You can get 10 heads on television and everybody's got an opinion about it. But when we go to God's Word and we open up His Word and we see that we as a nation, we as people, need to learn to trust in God and depend upon God with everything we have. Now, look at this. What's it going to be? Just a blank page? It hadn't been written yet. But God is saying it can be written. God's saying it can be there. We've got to encourage other people to stand up and speak up for what is right. And it's not going to start someplace else. It's not going to start with the intellectual people of the world. It's going to start with the base people of the world speaking up for what is right, standing for what is right, and listen to this, living what is right. Living as God would have us to live. Living in harmony with God. In our Bible class this morning, we studied and we looked at the book of 1 John and talked about the fellowship we have with God. And the two things that John talks about there, it's the fellowship with God and the fellowship with each other. And all of that is based upon God's will and what God wants us to do. I want to encourage you to do that. And then we can stand up and we can sing a song like this. God bless America, the land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the valleys, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. This is not a political lesson. This is not a lesson to talk about politics or anything like that. It's not running the government down. It's not building the government up. What I'm trying to say is we've got to be the people that we live and we serve God. Whether this nation exists or whether it doesn't, that doesn't make any difference at all. When I stand before God and I have to give an account to God, that's the thing that's going to make the most difference. That's going to be more than any nation that ever was. Will this nation survive? Don't know. And to be honest with you, don't really care a whole lot. But am I serving God? Am I encouraging other people to serve God? Am I trying to do God's will? I cannot do that if I'm not right with God. I cannot do that if I haven't repented of my sins and turned from the way that I'm living wrong in this life. If I'm not a Christian, I've got to become a Christian. I've got to do that. You say, is it just for the nation? No, it's for your soul's sake. And that's where we got to stand. July the 4th, Independence Day. We're not dependent on other governments. We're independent. We're standing on our own. We're doing our own thing. But let me tell you something. Even those people that were fighting for their independence at that time recognized the dependence that they had on God. And we've got to do that too. We depend on God for the air we breathe. To be able to get up in the morning. To be able to do anything. We depend and we trust in God. And that's what we've got to keep doing. This nation will be a great nation if the people that are in it are people that are trying to do God's will. That's what we got to do. You say, wait a minute. You think, me obeying the gospel, me being baptized, is going to change the world? Possibility. I can't tell you for sure that it will. But I know one thing. It'll change you. And you can change the people around you. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to tell the preacher, the elder, somebody, I've sinned, I've done things. That's going to turn the nation around, and tomorrow morning everybody's going to get up and say, what a great nation we've got. We're going to turn back to God. I doubt it. But you've got yourself right with God. And if you're right with God, you're going to change the world you're living in. And that's where it starts. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to plead with you to become a Christian. Not to save a nation, but to save a soul, your soul. If you're here and there's sin in your life, I want you to repent of those sins. Not to save a nation, but to save your soul. Because that's the most important thing. Please, if you would, think about your soul. We sing this song to encourage you and me to respond to God's invitation. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.